morning. Thank you for being here. My name is Melissa Scher, and I'm a PhD student at Oregon State University. And I'm going to be sharing with you part of my research, which concerns the effects of adjacent land use on benthic macroinvertebrates in eastern Oregon. To tell you a little bit about where I'm working, I work in the Umatilla River in the northeastern corner of Oregon. I've been sampling there since 2005. Primarily, this river runs through agricultural lands, but there are pockets of Forest Service and private residential areas. But it's mostly the agriculture that's really impacted this river the most, and that's because of the alterations that have been made to the channel. And when I'm talking about alterations, I mean channelization. They've moved the river off of the floodplains to make use of the fertile soils for croplands. And they've also either partially removed, or in some cases completely removed, as we see in the picture here, to be able to crop right up to the edge of the river. And there's no restriction on that. This increases the potential for non-point source pollution in the river. With the absence of the riparian strip, there's no barrier between the crops and the sediment on the plains and any kinds of pesticides or chemicals that they're spraying on those crops to prevent them from running down into the river. The Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation have put in multiple restoration attempts along this river, but there's been no real long-term monitoring of these efforts, which is where my research comes in. I wanted to come in and do some sampling in the river and see if the habitat there was affected by the adjacent land use, using the macroinvertebrates as indicators. So there's two questions I'll be telling you today, or addressing with you today. What is the effect of adjacent land use on the benthic macroinvertebrate community in the Umatilla River? And then in terms of these effects, are the invertebrate communities responding to the restoration attempts? Tell you a little bit about my study design. We broke the river down into different regions because we didn't want to be comparing headwater communities to mouth communities, which this river starts in the foothills of the Blue Mountains and runs down into semi-arid desert, so it's very different ecosystems. So we did preliminary data in 2005 to help us figure this out. So in terms of where we are in the world, this is the Pacific Northwest, the northeastern corner of Oregon. If we go in a little closer on that red circle, we see the Umatilla River as a tributary of the Columbia River at the Washington-Oregon border. Bray-Curtis ordination of the taxonomic communities in 2005 helped us break the river down into natural segments. The sites corresponding to the upper corner here were consistent with the upper river, the mid river, and the lower river here. If we look at it on the map, we see the upper river in the foothills of the Blue Mountains, and it's characterized by a mixed coniferous and deciduous canopy. It's got pretty high elevational gradient, and there's the substrate here is pretty big. The river is really narrow and rather deep and swift in this area. The mid-river, the river widens and flattens out, the elevational gradient decreases, and we see a change over to a cottonwood gallery. And in the lower river, we see a much more shrubby riparian strip where present, and the river is much shallower and wider as well. So within each region, we had different site types corresponding to the land use. The first was a reference site. And we characterized this with a mature riparian area. We wanted it to be a good distance from any kinds of human-induced disturbances. And we wanted a natural complex habitat with a lot of side channels and meanders and large woody inputs. This is opposed to a test site, which we looked for highly altered adjacent habitat, channelization, as I mentioned before, moving the river off of the floodplains to make use of it for cropping, and close proximity to human disturbance. As you can see in this picture, the hills here in the background, this is a cereal crop, and at this particular site, they're also grazing sheep really nearby. So what are the effects of these different land use types? To do the test and reference site analysis, we did a lot of environmental sampling, physical parameters in the area. And when I tested these to see if they were different between the sites we'd identified as test and reference, we did get strong evidence and significant results in some cases. For example, here we see that conductivity and turbidity are increased in the test sites, and that conductivity and turbidity can essentially be looked at as a measurement of suspended solids in the water columns or the amount or increased amounts of solutes, which is what we would expect if we have a runoff situation from a nearby field with those sediments and chemicals washing down into the water. And we see that those are indeed increased in test sites. So we wanted to see next if the taxonomic communities were responding in such a way that they could be indicative of these different site types. So we did another Bray-Curtis analysis, and an ordination on two-dimensional plot did show that test sites were clumping together in terms of shared information with the taxonomic communities. So So it could be said that these site types are affecting the assemblages here. I wanted to look closer at which taxa were responsible for these separatings, and as you can see here, there were several that were showing pretty interesting differences in both abundance and diversity patterns in this river. And it's, you can see here the names of the orders, Ephemeroptera, Plecoptera, and Trichoptera. Those are mayflies, stoneflies, and caddisflies, which are commonly used indicators of freshwater habitat quality. These are a few of the key players in the Umatilla River. We have mayflies up here, this as well. We have a stonefly that's pretty abundant throughout the river, sorry. And a caddisfly that's highly abundant as well, that just shows differences in diversity between the site types. So what is the effect of adjacent land use on the benthic macrovertebrate community in the Umatilla River? Well, we have evidence of environmental differences between the test and reference conditions, and that's confirming the differentiation of the site types. And as a result of these differing habitats, the endemic invertebrates are responding with different abundance and diversity patterns. So in terms of these effects, how are the invertebrate communities responding to restoration attempts? We identified the restoration sites with the help of the Confederated Tribes and got landowner permissions to go in and do some sampling on their property, and most of them were pretty amenable. This part of the river, the Umatilla tribes are really closely related historically with the salmon and the river, so they were really amenable to come in and let us do this. And we wanted to do the same sort of analysis we did in distinguishing the test and reference sites. And to do that, we thought it would be a good idea to use the signal taxa that were so important in differentiating those and using those as bioindicators of the habitat in these areas. A cluster analysis of just the upper river is shown here. I have the reference sites indicated with green, the test sites with red, and the restoration sites are in blue. And this information is showed in terms of percent shared taxonomic information. Oh, that wasn't supposed to happen. There we go. As you can see up at the top corner, we see two restoration sites associating pretty closely at about 90% with test sites, and then again here, 80% again with the test sites. So it's indicating that the restoration sites are associating more closely with test sites. However, when I went back and looked at these results, I noticed that the test sites they're associating with are actually located much further upriver in the region. So it actually might be indicative that these are returning to more ideal condition instead of the degraded condition that we would expect at a test site. And then I have the same slide twice. I'm going backwards. So This is an example of one of my restoration sites in the upper river associating with a test site that's located further upriver and the nearby reference condition. As you can see, there are just visual similarities looking at that. In the lower river, we see the same sort of effect. In these lower sites here, at about 85%, we see the restoration sites associating closely with test sites, and here with reference condition sites. However, the reference condition sites are actually located much farther downstream, so in the lower river, it actually appears that they're associating with a more degraded condition because they're associating with test sites and reference sites much further downstream. Here's an example of one of the restoration sites in the lower river, one of the associated test sites, and one of the associated lower river reference condition sites. So how are the invertebrate communities responding to restoration attempts? Well, in the upper river, it seems like they're more closely associating with ideal conditions since they're associating with the test sites that are located so much farther upriver. And in the lower river, it appears that the restoration sites are associating more closely with degraded conditions. Future directions for this work, I did sample in 2008 as well, and I haven't had time to assimilate that data. It's a lot of material. I like to do multiple response permutation analysis on these data to get a significant value for which site types are being more closely associated with in terms of the restoration attempts. And I'd like to look at multivariate analysis versus the abundance and diversity approaches that I've taken. I'd like to thank Dr. Sujaya Rao, who's my major professor at Oregon State, David Wooster and Sandy DeBono at Hermiston Ag Research and Extension Center, the Confederated Tribes, Fisheries and Wildlife, and all of the field research assistants that have sacrificed fingers for me, and Aquatic Entomology Lab at Herrick, and my funders, of course. Thank you.
We have time for questions.
IBI to try to assess the difference between
I have. The question was, have I considered constructing an IBI to analyze these data? And we have looked at that, and I think there are so many different ways, and it's so much data, there's so many different ways to analyze this. I really think that the MRPP will be the best way to look at the restoration data. So thank you for that. Any other questions?